your pens, because you want to mark the scripture. He's going to cover material today, and you can learn. You can learn. Amen? And you can understand. And so, come on, Brother Jimmy.
All right.
Thank you, Brother Pat. Good to be with you this morning. I look forward to it. And thank you, Brother Pat, for inviting me. We did have good fellowship last night, talking about good friends and memories from the past. And thank you all for being here this morning. We are carrying on the ministry of my father. Not his legacy, it's the Lord's legacy.
Amen.
And he had a passion for teaching Bible prophecy. That was his passion. He instilled that in my brother and myself. We're carrying on the ministry. I'm just telling Dawn that she asked me how many times I've been to Israel, over 200 times, and lived there. 1984, God put me on the front row of watching Bible prophecy unfold back in 1984, as he did with my father in 1991, as we are watching God work using world leaders. Of course, that's Revelation chapter 17, verse 17. God puts in the hearts of world leaders to accomplish his will. And it's really, in the times in which we're living now, things have gone so fast. I was, maybe Bethany, if you're back there, if you could bring up our website, prophecytoday.com. Just wanted to show the folks here. I don't know if you can put that on the screen, but if you're ever interested in following our ministry, prophecytoday.com, we do a weekend radio program. Good morning, how are you? Hey. I met some of the folks yesterday, so good to see you again in your church clothes today. You were in your serving clothes yesterday. But prophecytoday.com is our website. A good shot of Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives there, if you take a look at that. That gives you a good, but on our website you can get our radio program, information about the ministry. You can listen to our Prophecy Today radio network that airs. We put the daily news, top 10 news stories up there that are evidence of what's happening. We examine current events in the light of God's prophetic word. As we do that, as we understand Bible prophecy, it helps us to pinpoint what the world is doing right now that is setting up for future prophecies to be fulfilled. Every day. Every weekend, on a daily basis, there are events taking place, whether it be here in America, but when you look at the lands of the Bible, what the Bible talks about, what the Bible focuses on, Genesis chapter 10, Ezekiel chapter 38, Daniel, when you look at these lands, Psalm 83, these are the lands that are participating in the fulfilled prophecies in the future. But God is setting that stage right now. My father used to say, the stage is being set and that curtain is about ready to go up. And that is the truth. Hey, Bethany, go back just for a second to, or Chris, who's ever back there or who's doing, to the Bible. Just want to show you this. If you see that Bible, that was my father's Bible. It's open to the chapter of the book of Revelation. His notes are in there. We put that up there after he passed away. If you click on that, that Bible for me, and there you go. Click on that. It takes you to our daily devotions. Daily devotions. My father, myself, and my brother went through the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible, and we found all the prophetic passages. Now, I know you have a lot of devotions. I was looking back there. I'm glad you have the devotions. One of the things, as believers, we are to stay in the Scriptures, right? We are to study the Scriptures, to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. 2 Timothy, as Paul told Timothy, and those in the early church, that's our responsibility. Well, here you can go there, you can get these passages, you can read them on a daily basis, find out how God is working. There's no new prophecies being revealed today as far as what the Bible gives us. We just see events pertaining to prophetic events in the future. So the prophecies have been written down in His Word. We don't add prophecies to God's Word.
Amen.
Over 1,000 prophecies pertaining to His first and second coming. Confidence that we have is that those first 500 were fulfilled, and that gives us the confidence to know that those second 500 will be fulfilled exactly as they are given in the Scriptures. So as we read through this, that helps you. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. That gives you... Turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter. I was thinking about this morning. This is what God gave me in my quiet time this morning. I wanted to share this with you. This is Sunday school. And I know that y'all are the students of the Word. You're here early for Sunday school, so we have the students. I'm going to teach you a few things about studying Bible prophecy. But if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, I thought about this. I was reading this, and I want to just leave this because God put this word, this verse on my heart this morning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Now remember Peter? Peter, one of those five Bethsaida boys, fishermen, that Jesus called to be a fisher of men as Jesus was starting His ministry on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus came, He was baptized by John the Baptist, went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, came out, went up to the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee and chose His first disciples, those first young men to follow Him. Peter was one of those men. Simon, Andrew, Peter's brother. Simon was Peter. His name was later changed. Andrew, Peter's brother. And then you had James and John and Philip, those five boys from Bethsaida, that fishing village. Peter was chosen. He became a follower of Jesus. A lot of things happened. I always called him Impetuous Peter. Remember Peter? He was the one that got out of the boat when he saw Jesus walking on the water. He said, Lord, if that be You, tell me to come out there with You. Right? Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. He did, took his eyes off of Jesus, and he started to go down. He said that great prayer, Lord, save me. And he did.
Amen.
So we see that. Peter, again, I think about Peter later on. Remember in the upper room? When Jesus said, one of you are going to betray me.
Yeah.
Right? It was also Peter at Caesarea Philippi that recognized that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. So he had his ups and downs. In the upper room, when Jesus said, one of you will betray me, he said, Lord, I'll never betray you. What did Jesus say? Before the cock crows three times, before the sunrise, you will betray me. And Peter swore on his life that he would go to his death not betraying Jesus Christ. Of course, we know what took place the next morning. As Jesus was in those mock trials, Peter denied three times when they recognized by his dialect how he was speaking that he was one of those from the Galilee. Of course, Peter was the one that preached that message at the day of Pentecost.
Amen.
Acts chapter 2, when the church began. He also was a witness to Cornelius at Caesarea down by the Mediterranean where the first Gentiles came into the body of Christ. That's important information. This is not just information put in there about Peter. We're going to talk about that, some of that information. But as I come here, I think about this is Peter writing a letter to the early church at the end of his life. And he says in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Make God holy in your hearts. You know, today, people don't make God holy anymore. It's just something we do to pass the time. It's an entertainment value for some people going to church. But God wants us to be holy. The book of Leviticus, chapters 19 to chapter 23, was written about how to be holy, how the Jewish people were to be holy, and in fact, if they wanted to have a relationship with God. That was in that time period. But here Peter is saying, sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Folks, this is apologetics. This is defending the faith. Peter says, look, sanctify yourself. This is after his life. He's looking back. I was just talking about with my friend down here. Sorry, I didn't get your name.
Charita.
What is it?
Charita.
Yes. We're talking about at the end of our lives, we're looking back how far, but when Peter looked back at his life, he said, look, sanctify yourselves. Be ready to give an answer for what you believe. Do it with meekness, humbleness, and love. You know, sometimes the world doesn't listen to us. when we speak because we don't do it in humbleness and love, right? Mm-hmm. We do it in judgmental attitude. That's not what God wanted. Peter said, look, you can do it. Just do it in meekness and love and how you approach people. So I thought about that this morning as I wanted to teach you some of the things. And if you have your notes, I had one here, but I think I do have another one here. I wanted to teach you how to study Bible prophecy. Since this is Sunday school and we're going to learn some proper ways of understanding and how to study Bible prophecy, you know, Bible prophecy was given in His Word. A third of God's Word is Bible prophecy. I believe that this is the way that God communicates with us today. I don't believe He speaks audibly to us anymore. I believe that the Holy Spirit communicates with us. That's what He promised in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. He promised that the Holy Spirit would come and give us an understanding. But as far as speaking audibly today, I don't believe that God does that anymore. Or otherwise, we would have to add to the pages of His Word from Genesis to Revelation. So as we are studying this, we understand that the way that God communicates with us, if over one-third of it is His Word, and the things that He says pertain to future events, if it was that important to Him, how much more important should it be to us? But sometimes people say, I can't study Bible prophecy. I don't even know how to understand all these things that we're talking about. So if you put that first slide up for me, we're taking a look. I just want to show you. We put together a trio of triplets. Trio of triplets. This is another picture of the city of Jerusalem, the Temple Mount, from the Mount of Olives. And I put these three pedestals up there. Now, these three pedestals are going to represent the trio of triplets. I'm going to teach you how you can study Bible prophecy and understand it correctly. If you click on that next slide, you'll see that this is basically a timeline that we'll get to at the end that I've put in your notes. This reveals the three next main events in Bible prophecy. The rapture, which is the next thing to happen. I believe it's an imminent event, that it can happen at any moment. Paul and Peter, when they spoke to their letters to the churches, those believers in the first century, as they were spreading the gospel and going out, not only in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, which would have been Turkey or Ephesus, would be where some of the churches began, those seven churches of the book of Revelation. As the gospel was expanding, Peter and Paul wrote to the early church, and they were looking for that imminent event. They said, look, remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when the church thought that the rapture had already happened, Paul said, hey, don't be ignorant. Thank God for those ignorant people, right? That way today we can understand where we are in God's timeline. He said that he gives a description of that rapture that will take place. It hadn't happened. So he's given some advice to that early church. So on our next slide, as we take a look at this, I wanted to lay out for you the way to study Bible prophecy. It's a survival kit for the end times, a more sure word of Bible prophecy that we follow, not cunningly devised fables, as Peter says in 1 Peter. We don't follow books, right? Novels. We follow the Word of God. A lot of people out there today write novels about end time prophecies. Look, Hollywood can't even begin to depict what's going to take place in the future.
Amen.
When you look at the prophecies of what's going to take place, as we understand them, half the world's population is going to be gone in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Half of the world's population. Today we are seeing nothing compared to what's going to take place in the times of trouble, in the day of the Lord. So on that next slide, I give you a how can I understand Bible prophecy. We'll go to the next one. This lays it out for you. Hermeneutics. This is that $5 seminary word that probably most of you have never heard of. Maybe some of you have. I'm sure pastor has taught this. Hermeneutics. The purpose and goals to understand the biblical text. To understand the biblical text and then to apply the biblical text. Next one, please. As we come to that next slide. Hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation. Who was the writer? Now, I've given you these slides on the paper, so you can make notes next to them. But hermeneutics, who was the author writing to at the time that that passage was written. A lot of people today misapply the text. They don't apply it properly. Therefore, they get confused on prophetic events in the future. So here's some seminary terms that I'll give you. Hermeneutics, the art and science of biblical interpretation. Exegesis, the process of determining what the biblical text says. Pastor does that every week. If we have any other pastors or missionaries here, as you're teaching God's word, you study passages within the text. You exegete it. You study it. You see what was the background, what was being taught. Interpretation, the process of determining what the biblical text means. That's very important as we study God's word. Hermeneutics, the set of principles used to understand what the biblical text means. Exposition, the process of communicating. That's what we're doing now. That's what Pastor does. It's what I do. If you're a Bible teacher, whether you're teaching kids, teenagers, adults, you're teaching them, you're expositing the scriptures. Next one, please. The immediate purpose and goal of hermeneutical interpretation is to correctly understand the biblical text. The ultimate purpose and goal of hermeneutics interpretation is to correctly apply the biblical text. So I want to take you to a passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Now we're going to talk about, and this is why this is so important, because I'm helping you to understand the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32. Turn there. You'll want to underline this. 1 Corinthians. Now I know that Paul is giving some instructions to the early church at Corinth. The things that are lawful and expedient, the things that they can do and can't do, what's good for them. By the way, do you know what our first responsibility as believers is? What's our first responsibility?
Get the gospel out.
You would think that, right? Can we all agree with our brother here? Get the gospel out?
Amen.
Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Our first responsibility as Christians is to give glory and honor to God the Father. If we don't do that, that second, the byproduct of giving glory and honor to God is evangelization, telling others about how God provided His Son to die on the cross for us, for the sins of all of mankind. That's a byproduct. But the first thing, if we don't glorify God in how we live, how we work, how we our everyday practices, people are never going to listen to us. People will never hear us if we don't glorify God in our speech, in our talk, in our lives. Our first responsibility, thank you. That's what a lot of people, that's what a majority of Christians would think. Oh, I'm supposed to tell others about. Yes, but our first, what are we going to be doing for eternity? We're going to be worshiping and glorifying God the Father, God the Son in heaven.
Amen.
Now look at verse 32. Give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So here we come to an understanding, and this is your first principle for understanding that there are three strands of the human family. For the first 2,000 years of human history, there were only Gentiles on the earth. Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. For the first 2,000 years of human history, there were only Gentiles on the earth. That means from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 12, we only had Gentiles on the earth. Gentiles refers to a people or nations in the scriptures. A pagan, a worshiper of false gods, any person not a Jew or a Christian. So let's go through the first 2,000 years of human history. Who do we have in the first 2,000 years of human history?
Gentiles.
Genesis chapter 1 is what? It's not a trick one now. You can answer. Creation, right? Genesis chapter 2, the special effects of creation. Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. The first prophecy in the Bible. What was that first prophecy? Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's right. That a woman would give birth to one that would come and bruise the head and crush the head of Satan. Right? Genesis chapter 4. The story of Cain and Abel. Right? Genesis chapter 5. Genealogies. Now, Genesis chapter 5, don't pass over genealogies. Because in Genesis chapter 5, we have the genealogies of how old the earth was until from Adam to Noah till the flood took place. Now, I believe in a young earth creation, right?
That's right.
God created the heavens and the earth in 6 24-hour days.
Praise the Lord.
So we can confer with that in Genesis chapter 5, one from Adam, who was in the beginning, right? When was Adam created? On the sixth day of creation, right? Adam and Eve were created. So in the beginning, so Adam was in the very beginning. From Adam to Noah, it was 1,556 years. 1,500, we'll say for the sake of today, 1,500 50 years from Adam to the Noah, to the flood. Genealogies are very important. In Genesis chapter 5, we get some righteous Gentiles. Now, people always say, you mean Adam and Eve were not Christians? No, because that's a term that was applied later on. But we do know righteous Gentiles. Who was one righteous Gentile in Genesis chapter 5 that we hear about? Noah was one. Very good. Enoch. Very good. A lot of people don't get that, but Enoch was a friend of God. He was out for a walk one day, and God said, hey, Enoch, why don't you just come on home? It was the first, if you will, translation from the earth to the heavenlies. The first rapture in the Bible. Correct? So here, Enoch is going to be, and that's very important because Enoch never passed away. He was in a rapture event before the rapture that we talk about is going to take place. There's another man that was translated into the heavenlies. Anybody want to give a guess? Elijah. Exactly right. Two men that have never died that will be around in the future. We'll talk about that when we get later on. So, anyway, what time am I supposed to finish here? 4 o'clock?
Yep.
Oh, okay. What time do we break? Oh, man, I got to start hustling here. I'm getting off. I'm giving you all the good stuff. No, this is teaching. There's no rabbit trails here. This is teaching God's word because people don't understand. People don't understand about this. Genesis 6, 7, and 8, the Noah and the flood. The days of Noah that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 21. The days before the flood, the days during the flood, the days after the flood. Genesis chapter 9, the institution of human government. What was the first commandment that God gave Noah after the flood?
Multiply.
To multiply. Repeople the earth. Repopulate the earth. There were only 8 people living at that time. Human government was instituted in Genesis chapter 9 by God. Genesis chapter 10, another chapter of genealogies. In Genesis chapter 10, we see the nations. Now, in order to be a nation, in fact, Genesis chapter 10, verse 5 is the first time Gentile is mentioned in God's word. By this were the isles of the Gentiles, the lands of the Gentiles divided. What took place in Genesis chapter 11? Tower of Babel. Remember, Nimrod established the first kingdom. He was the first king, disobeyed God because he wanted to keep everybody at the city of Babel, right? In that city, God confused them as they were building this worshiping platform to worship false gods that was started in Babel. Which is why God is going to judge Babel and the lands of Babel, which later became Babylon.
Yep.
They will be, Revelation chapter 18, it will be as if they never were. But this is where Satan tries to interfere with God's plan. So as we're going through this, you see the first 2,000 years of human history. Now, as Pastor said, we got to get going. The second 2,000 years of human history is for the Jewish people, the second strand, Abraham. His name was Abram. He left Ur of the Chaldees, came up over the Fertile Crescent down into the Promised Land. By doing that, God said, I will multiply your descendants. The people of the earth will be blessed from your descendants. That's Genesis chapter 12 and 13. 15, 16, and 17, he was given land. There were promises, but this is when the strands of the Jewish people come into existence. Through his descendants, how the earth would be blessed, that would be through Jesus Christ. For the next 2,000 years, from Genesis chapter 12 to to Acts chapter 2, we had Gentiles and Jews on the land. Why is that important? Because from Genesis chapter 13 to Acts chapter 2, God made 4 covenants with the Jewish people. What were those 4 covenants? The land, the Davidic covenant, right? Very good. The Abrahamic blessing, all right? And a new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 30. That his people would be, that he would be their God. That hasn't happened. Jewish people today don't worship the same God that you worship.
Exactly.
That's very important today because everybody wants to lift Israel and the Jewish people up on a pedestal, but they don't worship the same God that you do. First prayer that God hears from the Jewish people today is what? Lord, save me. Salvation. But for that next 2,000 years, and when God made a promise to the Jewish people, he invoked his holy name in those promises, and those promises have to come true in the future. All right? Third 2,000 years, we come to the body of Christ. The church began on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches that message on the steps, the southern steps of the city of Jerusalem. 3,000 are added to the body of Christ on the day of Pentecost, one of those three high holy days when Jews from around the world had to be there. They didn't speak unknown tongues. They spoke unknown languages. Languages that they had learned, but how we know, because there's a record in Acts chapter 2 of where the Jews came from. There were Jews there from Persia. There were Jews from all over the world that made that trip to Jerusalem. And when the disciples and when Peter gave that message and they were speaking to all those Jews from everywhere, they were speaking in their languages. That's the gift of tongues. Languages. Not an unknown. So here you get the beginning of the church, and that strand of the human family will stay on the earth until Revelation chapter 4, the rapture of the church. Very important that, because you'll see as we discuss this. Now, the second strand of the trio of triplets, all right, would be the three main prophetic books of the Bible. There are 17 minor prophets written by 16 different authors, all right, in the Old Testament. But the three main prophetic books of the Bible, Daniel was given to the Gentile people, the times of the Gentiles. That began, and Daniel was carried away into captivity, right? He was carried from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, who made his way and took him back. Daniel and his three friends, what were their names? Well, those were the ungodly names. Do you know their godly names? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Very good. So they were carried into the promised land, into Babylon, right, by Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel writes a book, but that's the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. If you have your notes out, write this down, the times of the Gentiles, because Jesus mentioned the times of the Gentiles. Anytime that the Gentile world is in control of the city of Jerusalem and the Jewish people, that's a definition for the times of the Gentiles. That will become complete. Luke chapter 21, when Jesus Christ returns back to the earth. But until then, the Gentile world, these are not Jews, these are not Christians, the Gentile world is in control of the city of Jerusalem and the Jewish people. If you watch the news over the last couple of weeks, last couple of days, you see how the Gentile world still controls what they do in Jerusalem. The Jewish people, although they think they're in control, they're still being controlled by Gentile world. That's right. United Nations. Yep. European Union. What's that? So here we have the three strands, the three books, prophetic books, Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles. There are great prophecies in the book of Daniel. There are practical for young men and women today and how to live in this world because Daniel was carried away. He set himself to understand and to be disciplined, to follow what he was trained up as a young man. But the prophetic aspects, Daniel chapter 2, 7, 9, 10, and 11. Those are all the prophetic passages in Daniel chapter, the book for the Gentiles. The book for the Jewish people, Ezekiel. The judgment on the Jewish people from Ezekiel chapter 1 to Ezekiel chapter 32. All right, that's the judgment on the Jewish people. Why did God judge them? Well, because they disobeyed him so many times that he finally said, that's it. And when Ezekiel was carried away with the next wave into Babylon with 10,000 Jews, he wrote his book from Babylon. And it's given about the judgment of the Jewish people carried away, but also the restoration of the Jewish people. Chapters 33 to 48 talks about not only the restoration of the Jewish people, but the land, the return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel, to that land that God gave them, and one of those promises. By the way, the Jews today only have 10% of the land that God has promised to give them for all eternity. They only have 10%. The borders of the land that God gave to the Jews goes from the Euphrates in Iraq to the Nile in Egypt, as far north as Lebanon, as far south as three-quarters of Saudi Arabia. That's the land that's been given to the Jews forever. They've never had those borders of that land. That's why we keep our eyes on the Jewish people.
Amen.
But to talk about the resurrecting of the Jewish people in Ezekiel chapter 37, the vision of the valley of dry bones, then you have the nations that are going to come against Israel to try to wipe them out. God destroys them. And then the rebuilding of the temple, chapters 40 to 48. That future temple. That's not the temple that John was told to measure in Revelation. This is a future temple that Jesus builds in the city of Jerusalem. And then the book of Revelation, which gives us that third trio of triplets of the books. The book of Revelation is given to us describing for Christians. Not because we will be in those 16 chapters of the book of Revelation. What it gives to us is it describes to us the events and why we as Christians need to be doing evangelism. Right? Why we are to tell others. What is our purpose? If you go to that next screen for me, I've laid this out for you. So this is the third trio of triplets. The next three main events, beginning with the rapture of the church. How do I know the rapture is next? Well, I use that simple hermeneutical approach. The word church is mentioned in the book of Revelation 25 times. Right? 16 times from Revelation chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 4. It's mentioned. If you've ever studied the last words of Jesus Christ to the church, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you should, because in there it gives you, if you are an overcomer, if you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, it tells you what you're going to be doing for eternity. It lays down to those that are overcomers. Those that have an ear, let them hear. Right? You get those words that John gave in those messages to those early church. So 16 times from Revelation chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 4, it explains about the church. From Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, it's not mentioned once. So when we're studying and we're listening and we're talking about Bible prophecy, if the church is not mentioned, then it's not there from Revelation chapter 4 to Revelation chapter 19. It is off the earth because it does talk about the saints. All right, people say, well, who are the saints? The saints are those people that accept Christ during the tribulation period, that seven-year period of time. But that is not the church. The church and saints, those that accept Christ during the tribulation period, are two different people. We have a distinction. We are the bride of Christ. We are the queen. We'll be serving with God. We'll be serving with Jesus Christ in the millennial kingdom. We are his bride. We're his wife. Very important as you understand that. So I place the rapture, the very first thing that takes place in the future as far as the next prophetic event to unfold. After that, the day of the Lord, that seven-year period of time that Daniel talked about in Daniel chapter 9, that begins when the Antichrist, the one world leader, confirms a peace agreement with Israel. That begins a seven-year period of time. That's Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. The judgments in Revelation chapter 6, beginning in Revelation chapter 6 with the seal judgments, going all the way to Revelation chapter 16. Pertain to those 21 judgments that are going to be unfolded on the earth. They are the same judgments that Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 24. The time of the great tribulation, the time of perilous times, wars and rumors of wars. Matthew chapter 24 gives us that message that Jesus gave on the Mount of Olives, that prophetic message, tells us about the times that we're living in right now. But it's going to get even worse after the rapture. He gives a description of when the Antichrist will appear in the temple to lift himself up above God. That's all future. But the Jews today are planning to build a temple. Not the temple that Jesus is going to build, but a temple that John was told to measure in Revelation chapter 11. So as we go through this, keep this always in mind. All right, the three strands of the human family. When somebody says, well, what about this? And the book of, you know, I know a lot of people pull prophecies and they try to tie America into Bible prophecy. The most asked question, where is the United States in Bible prophecy? Can anybody tell me where it is? It's mentioned once. Zechariah chapter 14. It says, when all nations, the Antichrist will gather, and Satan will gather all nations to the city of Jerusalem to try to wipe out the Jewish people. If the United States is still a nation, after all the God-fearing Christians leave this nation, left it to itself, I believe it's going to implode. The only thing that really keeps it existing right now is those of you and I who are law-abiding citizens that want to please our God, right? We do that because that's what we're commanded to do. But if we're removed, even today, we're going downhill fast.
Yeah.
So should it still be around then? We see that, yes. If it's still around, it will be gathered to the city of Jerusalem to go against. That's the only time in the United States. But people try to pull passages where it talks about the eagle and all these things. That has nothing to do because the United States was not in that hermeneutical principle of when Joshua Jeremiah, Isaiah, Zechariah, the minor prophets, when these minor prophets were given, the United States was not even a thought in that process. So it pertains to. So it helps you when you're studying the three strands of the human family, the three main prophetic books of the Bible pertaining to those three strands, and then the three remaining events. Later on today, we'll take time for Q&A about prophecies and what's happening. Keep that in mind because that really does help you to sometimes answer your own questions. What about this? Well, go back to those principles and it will help you to understand what's taking place. So those are the three strands of the human family, or the trio of triplets, we like to call them. The three strands, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. Three books, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. Zechariah is another. Zechariah is actually bigger than the book of Daniel. Zechariah is 14 chapters. Daniel's only 12. But Zechariah is included in those minor prophecies. The major prophecies, the prophetic books, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Revelation. And then the timeline. The rapture, the return of Christ, or the revelation. That's what Jesus was given information about in Matthew chapter 24. That's what he talked about. The Jews were those Jewish young men that Jesus gave Matthew 24 to. They were looking for Jesus to return. Paul and Peter, when they wrote their letters, they were waiting for Christ to come back. They didn't know Christ wouldn't come back for 2,000 years. But as 2 Peter says, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day in the eyes of the Lord. In the eyes of the Lord, it's only been 2 days since he ascended into the heavenlies in Acts chapter 1. Right? So, keeping all these things in mind, in Sunday school this morning, I've given you some basic principles. I gave you the information so that as you study, that's what we do. We take the proper study tools to study God's Word. It's really easy. When people say, what about these nations? Well, who is it? Who are these nations? I'll give you one right now. Ezekiel chapter 38, Gog and Magog.
Right.
Magog went north of the Black and Caspian Sea. That's in Genesis chapter 10 when they were dispersed because they had people, they had a language, and they needed land. And when they were dispersed into the land, Magog went north of what is today the Black and Caspian Sea. If you don't know who that is on your world geographical map, that is modern-day Russia. So in Ezekiel 38, when it talks about Gog, Gog is a personality. It's a person. He's not the Antichrist. He is a world leader. At this moment, Gog would be Vladimir Putin. Do you hear his name in the news? Almost by the minute, right? By every top newscast, what Russia is doing in Ukraine, what Russia is doing to the European Union, what Russia is doing in the Middle East, what Russia is doing with China. China, one of the kings out of the East, Revelation chapter 16. They're all going to come against Israel to wipe Israel off the face of the map. So Gog, that personality, Magog, that's how relevant Bible prophecy, that's how relevant the Bible is. We don't have to wander around wondering what's going to happen. We know ahead of time. We just need to read God's word. Amen. 10:45 or thereabouts.
Amen.
I'm going to pass it off to Pastor.
Thank you, Brother Jimmy. The problem with this teaching is you listen to a song and they start singing about prophecy out of order. And you can't enjoy the song anymore.
That happens.
Oh, I just heard a song talking about there will come a day, and it says talking about in heaven the lion and the lamb laying down. Well, that's not where it's happening. Okay, but your dad and I would talk about this. He's, but these slides that he gave you,